Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Dutchison.
Hey, how you doing? How's everyone doing out there? This is Dutchess, and once again it's time for Inside Matters Talk. I'm going to be talking a little bit low-key, I guess, in the beginning, because right now I'm not a very happy camper, and as the board is lighting up, I want to take stock of what's happening all over the place, all over the earth, all over the world, and being an empath, I guess it's hitting me pretty hard, and it's going to hit us empaths real hard, roughly, and if we're not careful, we're going to be going through a lot of hurts and aches and pains, because as an empath, we hold on to energy. We hold on to everybody's energy, and it can just throw us out of whack, bend us out of shape. We'll walk around taking things out on other people, not intending to, but it's our lack of control in exploding or letting off the steam of the energy that we're encapsulating within ourselves as we walk through this reality. It's a rough go going on out there. I'm really sad. I'm sad for everyone. I'm sad for the earth. I'm sad for those lives that are being lost all over. It's a hurtful, harmful thing. And kind of brings to mind that show that I watched a movie long time ago. It was a show called, it was a movie called War Games. I don't know if any of you out there are old enough to remember that particular movie, but it starred Matthew Broderick when he was a little guy, a young guy. And the movie was War Games. And I remember the computer got activated because Matthew thought he was playing a computer game, just a plain old computer game. But he had activated a launch system for thermonuclear war games. And this computer had no idea that this war was, this was just a game. And so it started making its moves in the United States across the earth to other countries. And other countries were beginning to respond to this because, of course, the kid didn't know he was activating a real war scenario. And but the final analysis is, I'm going to, you know, like, spoiler alert, because it's such an old movie, but it's in something that's interesting to watch now. But the final analysis of the computer was that the only winning move in this game was not to play. And I see a lot of things like that happening on the face of this earth. You know, you make your move, then I make my move, then you make your move, then I make my move against you, and you hate me, and I hate you two times, and then you want to hate me three times back. And it just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it's like playing tic-tac-toe. You know, there are no winners. You're just going back and forth, going back and forth, back and forth. And so I was looking at a post from Pam Grout. Everyone knows that I like Pam Grout. Pam Grout does the E-squared. She has the book E-squared and E-cubed or Energy Squared. And I get her little posts periodically. And Pam Grout was saying that it's time to be recklessly generous and relentlessly kind. And she quoted Kyle Cease, who said, "We need a million Martin Luther Kings to show up right now." Right now. This guy, Ted Mosby, on the show How I Met Your Mother, she says it's one of her favorite heroes. He was known to say that it's not our job to play judge and jury to determine who is worthy of our kindness and who is not. We just need to be kind, unconditionally, and without ulterior motive, even, or rather especially, when we prefer not to be. Because you see, when we choose kindness and generosity in whatever situation we find ourselves, to whomever happens to be in front of us, it opens a crack that enables us to see a whole different reality. You know, that tiny twist, a smile, offering a hand, even just being generous in thought, not only changes the inner landscape, but it creates a ripple effect. It reminds us, here's how the world could be. This is how it could be. And we've got to realize that it's not acceptable the way it is. Because we ourselves can change the reality of how we present ourselves to the world. Generosity doesn't fit, you know, very much the narrative not in a me world. There is no generosity there. And that's the very thing that shakes up the old story, the very thing that flips the dominant paradigm. You know that dominant paradigm that we're looking at now? It looks like it's dominating everything. Well, we as individuals, if we collectively, now that sounds like, you know, it's a contradiction, but it takes an individual of all, many individuals to form a collective. So we individually extend our energy, you know, out there for that love that we spoke about in the last show, transforming things in that love space. We can affect this change so that these war games, quote unquote, war games, can stop. Like Kyle C. said, this world is crying out for a whole country full of Martin Luther Kings. Now, we're going to talk about some things here, and I don't want people to think that this is a religious show. When we first started Inside Matters Talk, for those of you who are new coming online, I just want you to know that I'm not in a very good space today. As an empath, I'm feeling the energy of just pain around it all. I'm not hurting physically, but I'm very sad today. I'm not feeling an energy upness today. And I was saying to those who came online earlier that what I see happening around us is likened unto that movie with Matthew Broderick entitled War Games, where the computer started a thermonuclear warhead game that Matthew Broderick started it because he thought it was just a game. But the game, the computer started waging war, making its moves. But at the end of the movie, the computer itself realized the only winning move is not to play. And what we're seeing, I believe, across the face of this earth is a game of tic-tac-toe. You hurt me, I hurt you twice. You hurt me three times, and I'm going to hurt you some more. And it goes on and on and on, tit-for-tat, tit-for-tat, and no one is the winner. So the only way to play this game, somebody's got to realize that there is a way that it has to be stopped. It's got to be stopped because the only way to win it is not to play it. Or we're going to destroy. We're going to destroy ourselves, you know. Back to this being a spiritual show, it's got to be made clear that the lines between, you know, spirituality and religion are totally separated. And I have to separate this before I go on, because I have to make it perfectly clear that some of the things that I'm going to share have to do with being spiritual as opposed to being a religion. Now, in a previous show, way back when, we discussed the fact that religion is an institution established by man for various reasons, you know. That's religion. But spirituality is born in a person and develops in that person. It may be kickstarted by a religion, or it may be kickstarted by a revelation. But spirituality extends to all facets of a person's life. Spirituality is something that's chosen, while religion is oftentimes forced. And I say that lightly, but, you know, we're raised in a religion. We grasp hold of the religions, or, you know. But being spiritual, to me, is more important than being religious. True spirituality is something that is found deep within oneself. It is your way of loving, accepting, and relating to the world and people around you. And it cannot be found in a church or by believing in a certain way. True spirituality. To go further, more examples, religious people are those who believe that if milk is boiled and sugar is added and drink it, it will be tasty. Spiritual people are those who boil milk, add sugar, drink it, and experience the taste. So, those who believe are religious people, while those who have experienced are your spiritual people. I've heard it said that religion is for people who don't want to go to hell, but spirituality is for people who have already been there. Okay? Another note that I have here, it says one thing to say. It's one thing to say that you are religious or spiritual, okay? And it's another thing to carry that vibration inside of you, you know? When the force flows through you, and I smile and I say, young Skywalker, because we're all young Skywalkers in a sense, you know, Skywalker. When the force flows through you, grasshopper, when the force flows to you and through you, you become that shining example of who you really are. Okay? So that's how I'm going to begin the show, with the fact that I will not be talking about religion, because I'm going to get into some spiritual stuff, and it's going to take the listeners very deep into their own spiritual energy, and it may take you in places that you've never considered or thought of before. And I doubt that I'll be taking too many calls until I'm completed with what I have to say, because, you know, some people get a little bit testy. And I've got to finish what I start. I've got to finish what I start today, because that's the only way that I'm going to get through the energy that I've been holding on to and the sadness that I've been feeling and the understanding of how I see things. And I said to a person, after all, you know, once a month I pay for me to do this show. And usually I ask for people to open up the lines, let's open up the lines and let me have what your insides are saying. But today, bear with Duchess, because she wants to share her insides, and she wants to share them all, you know. So I'm going to be a little bit selfish today with the line. Let's talk about the energy path, Lena Stevens's path for this month. We started it on the 3rd of July, and the power path energy for the month of July is transformation. And then that transformation, we found that there would be radical, sudden, emotional, excruciating, high-centered, painful, ecstatic transformation. But it would all be about love. Now, what we're looking at today doesn't sound very much or look very much like love. You know, it really doesn't. And that's the sad part. But, you know, the underlying factor here is how much love do we have to heal what's going on? She said that July would be a two-act play. In the first act, the first 2 weeks, we were likely to get a tour of our own emotions, fears, and all the attachments that are in the way of this transformation. The second act begins or began on the 16th, and it would bring in love, compassion, and a high emotional-centered energy to everything, anchoring this transformation through beauty and love. We could also say that this month, July, would be all about that love, transforming fear into power through love, transforming doubt into confidence through love, transforming old emotional wounds into great wisdom through love. This month would be an opportunity for us all to learn our lessons through the tough love of spirit, and to finally begin to love and cherish ourselves deeply and unconditionally. Did you hear that? Through the tough love of spirit. Now, everybody, there's some folks out here that's waiting for spirit, God, Allah, Jesus, to stop all of this stuff that's going on. Okay? Why? We're doing it. We've got to stop it. We've got to stop it. You know, so Lena said in these 2 weeks, we get a chance at karmic cleanup and completions. Do you believe in karma? What goes around comes around? Well, it's happening in front of our faces. Now, the second half of the month would begin with a higher emotional center. This is the energy of love, okay? That love connection, that huge open heart and experience of the essence of that love. Let's go back. No, we're gonna go with what was going on the July 8th through the 15th. Let's just go back that far. During this time frame, Lena says it easily lends itself to depression, anxiety, looking at the negatives, feeling unworthy, discouraged, despairing, and lethargic. Don't resist the emotions, but at the same time, do not indulge. It will not serve you. Put good boundaries around your allotted time for that whining and complaining, okay? So let's look at this transformation from an animal medicine card perspective. We're transforming. And in Native American traditions, transformation is symbolic with the butterfly. And why is it symbolic with the butterfly? Because if we look closely at what butterfly is trying to teach us, you will realize that it is the never-ending cycle of self-transformation. The way to discern where you are in this cycle is to ask yourself, is this the egg stage, Is it just a thought or idea? Is this the lava stage? You know, that little worm thing, the little maggot-looking thing? Do I need to make a decision? Or are we in a cocoon right now? Is the earth in a cocoon right now? Or is it moving into that cocoon? Do you know how painful that may be for that little lava to sit there and eat and eat? You know, that caterpillar to eat and eat and eat and eat and gorge itself and enwrap itself in that cocoon? We don't know what's going on in that cocoon. We don't know what's happening to that baby in the womb. We don't know what's happening in the darkness. But verily in darkness, there is light. So once you come through that darkness with all that pain, because we see a little darkness, a lot of darkness around us right now. This is the pain stage. This is the pain, and we are hurting. The earth is hurting. Families are traumatized. I mean, people are hurting. They're dying. They're in pain. I mean, this is the cocoon, and we're going to have to break out of this cocoon eventually. Eventually. Okay? And in that birth stage, perhaps we'll be complete. Perhaps we'll be complete. And we'll break out beautiful like that butterfly. So, the power of that butterfly brings us akin to the air. It is the mind and the ability to know the mind or to change it. It is the art of transformation. To us, or to use butterfly medicine, you must astutely observe your position in the cycle of self-transformation. Like butterfly, you are always at a certain stage in your life activities. You may be at that egg stage, which is the beginning of all things. This is the stage at which an idea is born, but has not yet become a reality. The lava stage is the point at which you decide to create the idea in the physical world. The cocoon stage involves going within, doing or developing your project, doing or developing your idea, doing or developing some aspect of your personality that you desire to develop to create a change on the face of this earth. Now, we all came here for a purpose, and we sit around wondering what that purpose is. Well, by golly, your purpose is to get up and do something. Now, you got to figure out what it is because it's already ingrained inside of you what it is you came here to do. It's already in there. But we've been lazy. We like to sleep. We like to watch TV. We like to play games on our telephones. You know, we can't stand to sit 5 minutes, 15 minutes in a meditative state and be quiet and let it be known what it is you came here to do. Now, that's where you're going to find the answer. Not on TV, not listening to Duchess over the internet. That's where you're going to find the answer. The answer is already inside of you. You want to save the face of this earth? You want to get up and stop complaining about what's going on the face of this earth and in this world? Then sit down for 10, 15 minutes every day, go within, and ask yourself for the answer that is already inside of you. Okay? So the final stage of butterfly is of transformation, and it is the leaving of the chrysalis and birth. Now, you want to go inside? Go inside your cocoon. You walk around with it all day long. You've got your own personal cocoon. Sit down, 15 minutes, go inside and get the answers so that you can give birth to the you that was meant to be on the face of this earth to do what you came here to do. Okay, I don't mean to preach, but it feels good because I'm waking up, you know. So here we go. We create our own reality. And if you don't think we do, well, I got news for you. We do. We call to us those things that come to us, and that's a harsh thing. That's a harsh reality, especially when you have things that are horrible that come to you in your life. But you don't know the reasons why you were put here on the face of this earth until you go inside yourself and find out. Because you may have come here for something that horrible to happen to you so that you can walk somebody else through it. You don't know until you go inside and you find that peace and you come back out of that cocoon and with the realization and the awareness of what your purpose is. So when we say we create our own realities, whether we are conscious of it or not, most of us are unaware of the power of our thoughts and so react to life on autopilot and therefore create unconsciously. When we become that it is our thoughts that create our reality, we can then consciously choose different thoughts, therefore creating a different reality, and that's called creating consciously. We are the creators of our own life. We are. We don't like what we have created. Then you know what? When that happens, if you don't like what you have created, well, we can simply choose to change our thoughts to create a new reality for ourselves. We are more powerful than we realize. Oh, we are so powerful. We are souls. Souls, do you hear me? On an evolutionary path, here to experience all that life has to offer, whether it be pain or joy, you know? And when we get into the spiritualness of it, many of us will realize we selected that pain for a purpose before we made our transition into physical form. But of course, we don't want to think that we asked for whatever pain it is we've gone through. We don't want to think that we asked for that before we came into physical transformation, before we transitioned into this human physical form, because that would be ludicrous. Why would I ask for that? Why? Well, before we end today, hopefully, well, I'm sure we're going to make time so I can give you an example, a parable as to why we may have asked for that, even though it was painful. We are souls on this evolutionary path. We choose our pains and our sorrows. While this concept is now becoming more widely accepted, there are still many out there who will say indignantly, as I already stated, I did not choose this reality for myself. I would be mad, stupid, or both. Okay? We all know, and we all may feel that way. Okay? I've been saying okay a lot. You know, I used to wonder why I had created the realities of some of the things that went on in my life. But it's really amazing. Like, we also hear folks who say nothing happens by chance, and we create our own reality. If I look back on some things that happened to me in my past and I open up my mind and my heart to it, I will see how those things that, whether I call them to myself or not, or want to believe that I call them to myself, they happened. And as a result of them happening, today I can see that they were meant to happen in order for me to be where I am today. Even if I didn't like what was happening at the time it happened to me. Okay? But being on the road to find out that we create our own reality is a matter of taking responsibility for the fact. Now, once you take that responsibility, then it'll be easier for you to be able to see what's going on around you and why these things happen and how you can affect them if we create consciously. There's this movie that I saw a few years ago. I went in a, it was a snowstorm. A snowstorm. I went all the way to Alexandria to see this movie. And it's called What the Bleep Do We Know? You might want to watch it. Some of this old stuff, these old movies, it's amazing how much spiritual knowledge is in there if you just open up your eyes and your mind to see that these realities are happening. I mean, you know, people have been telling on themselves for years. People have been sending you messages for years. The universe has been sending you messages forever. You just got to open up your mind, open up your eyes, and see. It's there. You can't walk around saying, oh, I don't believe in that. You have to at least say, I may not believe in this, but I can't say it's not a possibility. Because somebody is believing in it, you know? When we understand this, that we create our realities, whether it's pain or joy, or by our own self-belief, when we understand this, it moves us out of victim and blame role and into the role of authentic power. So we sit around saying all this stuff that's happening to me, oh, it's not my fault, oh, and I wish God would come here and fix this, and oh, God has abandoned me, and oh, you know, where is spirit, and oh, my gosh, oh, my God, oh, my God, you know, these people. I mean, I can blame my landlord for a lot of stuff, but why am I going to sit here in victim mode? Why don't I just get up and say, I'm not taking this anymore, I'm moving. And once I put that in my mind, the universe will unfold in ways beyond my control to show me how I can make that possible. All you've got to do is change the way you think to affect the change in the way it occurs. Just make it so. I love that too. All right. Creating consciously is a whole lot better than being a victim. Creating consciously because these experiences, which are simply just mirrors of our beliefs made manifest to us to look at, give us the opportunity to learn the lesson in it and change it if we choose to. Simply put, if we change our thoughts and we change our reality, we can continue to create unconsciously or we can become a conscious creator. And, of course, as always, the choice is ours. Oh, I'm so happy to see all of you out there because this is kind of sort of the next thing, and it's so powerful. I need you all to be with me now. Ooh, you got to be with me for this one. And this is how it's going to open you up to how we create our own reality and why perhaps those things that we have suffered, we suffered because we created it that way. The suffering, it was meant to be. The happy, it was meant to be. And I took this from Conversations with God, Book 3, my buddy, Neil Donald Walsh. I love that guy. Now, here's a man who was down and out, excuse me, in all kinds of ways. And one day he woke up and he was very upset. He was extremely upset with God, and he just went off. And just, you know, because sometimes I walk around, ooh, and it will blow my mind if I ever get an answer through my brain like that. But I walk around here sometimes in my space, and I'm a boy. I am ranting and I'm raving, And I'm talking to the airspace, and I'm talking to the ancestors, and I'm telling them that I got an attitude, and I feel that it's your place to help me, and, you know, well, God, you know, what's going on? And, I mean, I do my ranting and raving. Any of you out there ever do that ranting and raving? Well, Neil Donald Walsh, he got a response. Now, whether it was, you know, like through his ear or just in his head, he got a response. And basically, the response was, do you really want an answer, or what do you want? Okay, is this just figurative? You're just blowing on steam, or do you really want to know some stuff? And he said he stopped, and he said, I really want to know. I want some answers. And at that point, he sat down with paper and pen, and you should do that sometime. When you wake up in the morning, you know, sit down with paper and pen. Don't start talking to people. You go to bed with a question on your mind. You go into the silence of your mind. You go into the depths of who you really are, and you'll come back out with the answer. Just have the paper and pencil ready so that you can start writing. Well, today's show is about we can't stay asleep forever, or can we? If it's true, we create our own reality and nothing happens by chance. Then we must be asleep and the entire world is our nightmare. What are we doing? And when are we going to wake up? All right? Have we all seen the news lately, especially today? You say none of it is your creation? Well, guess what? I have a little bit of spiritual news for you. And like my intro or like my statement on the show board says, extra, extra, all souls having human experiences, front and center. It's wake-up time. It's wake-up time. Now let's go to Neil Donald Walsh's Book 3's Parable. But before we get to that, let me give you some background, a little bit of background as we move along, because I don't know if this is Neil Donald Walsh, and he's talking to God. This is how he refers to the dude. Now, Pamela Grout, she calls the creator the dude. You may call the dude Jesus, Allah, Spirit, whichever you choose, but it's all one energy source. Neil Donald Walsh is talking to the energy source, and he calls that energy God. You may call that energy love, but irregardless, he gets an answer from his energy. So why? Because he has the wherewithal to go inside and come back out with the answers. So he says, but I want to believe that one thing that never changes is God's love for us. Response. My love for you is always changing because you are always changing, and I love you just the way you are. For me to love you just the way you are, my idea of what is lovable must change as your idea of who you are changes. You mean you find me lovable even if I decide that who I am is a murderer? We've been through this all before. I know, but I just can't get it. Nobody does anything inappropriate given their model of the world. I love you always, always. There is no way you can be that could cause me not to love you. But wait a minute. You will punish us, right? You will lovingly punish us. You will send us to everlasting torment with love in your heart and sadness that you had to do it. No. I have no sadness ever because there is nothing I have to do. Who would make me have to do it? I will never punish you, although you may choose to punish yourself in this life or another until you don't anymore. I will not punish you because you have not been hurt or damaged, nor can you hurt or damage any part of me, which is all of you. One of you may choose to feel hurt or damaged, yet when you return to the eternal realm, you will see that you have not been damaged in any way. In this moment, will you forgive those you imagined to have damaged you? Once again, let's say that again. In this moment, will you forgive those you imagined to have damaged you? For you will have understood the larger plan. What is the larger plan? Do you remember the parable of the little soul and the son that I gave you in book number one? Yes. There is a second half to that parable. Here it is. You may choose to be any part of God you wish to be, I said to the little soul. You are absolute divinity experiencing itself. What aspect of divinity do you now wish to experience as you? You mean I have a choice? Asked the little soul. And I answered, yes, you may choose to experience any aspect of divinity in, as, and through you. Okay, said the little soul, then I choose forgiveness. I want to experience myself as that aspect of God called complete forgiveness. Well, this created a little challenge, as you can imagine. There was no one to forgive. All I have created is perfection and love. No one to forgive? Asked the little soul, somewhat incredulously. No one, I repeated. Look around you. Do you see any souls less perfect, less wonderful than you? At this, the little soul twirled around and was surprised to see himself surrounded by all the souls in the heaven. They had come from far and wide throughout the kingdom because they heard that the little soul was having an extraordinary conversation with God. At this point, those of you listening to me might want to close your eyes and imagine you're one of those souls that came from far away, you know, to listen to the conversation the little soul was having with God. I see none less perfect than I, the little soul explained. Who then shall I have to forgive? Just then, another soul stepped forward from the crowd. You may forgive me, said this friendly soul. For what? The little soul asked. I will come into your next physical lifetime and do something to you to forgive, replied the friendly soul. But what? What could you, being, what could you, a being of such perfect light, do to make me want to forgive you? The little soul wanted to know. Oh, smiled the friendly soul. I'm sure we can think of something. But what? But what? And why would you want to do this? The little soul could not figure out why a being of such perfection would want to slow down its vibration so much that it could actually do something bad. Simple, the friendly soul explained. I would do it because I love you. You want to experience yourself as forgiveness, don't you? Besides, you've done the same for me. I have, asked the little soul. Of course. Don't you remember? We've been all of it, you and I. We've been the up and the down of it, the left and the right of it. We've been the here and the there of it, and the now and the then of it. We've been the big and the small of it, the male and the female of it, the good and the bad of it. We've all been the all of it. And we've done it by agreement, so that each of us might experience ourselves as the grandest part of God. For we have understood that in the absence of that which you are not, that which you are is not. In the absence of cold, you cannot be warm. In the absence of sad, you cannot be happy. Without a thing called evil, the experience you call good cannot exist. If you choose to be a thing, something or someone opposite to that has to show up somewhere in your universe to make that possible. The friendly soul then explained that those people are God's special angels, and these conditions God's gifts. I only ask one thing in return, the friendly soul declared. Anything, anything, the little soul cried. He was excited now to know that he could experience every divine aspect of God. He understood now the plan. In the moment that I strike you and smite you, said the friendly soul, in the moment that I do the worst to you that you could ever imagine, in that self-same moment, remember who I really am. Oh, I won't forget, promised the little soul. I will see you in the perfection with which I hold you now, and I will remember who you are, always. That is an extraordinary story, an incredible parable. And the promise of the little soul is the promise I make to you. That is what is unchanging. Yet have you, my little soul, kept this promise to others? No, I am sad to say I have not. Do not be sad. Be happy to notice what is true, and be joyous in your decision to live a new truth. For God is at work, is a work in progress, and so are you. And remember this always. If you saw you as God sees you, you would smile a lot. So, with that, folks out there in Radio Land, it goes on to say, you have to observe. You have to observe. He goes on to explain to Neil Donald Walsh, I have told you the major difference between you and highly evolved being is that highly evolved beings observe more. If you wish to increase the speed with which you are evolving, seek to observe more. And in that observation, you will grow and you will evolve. So I'm here to say, while there is a soul who may have come forth in physical form to die, and another soul that may have come forth in physical form to lower its vibration to commit that murder, what are these souls who are standing around looking at what happened or what happens doing? What are we doing, and what is our purpose for being here? And it sure isn't just to watch it happen. And it sure isn't to go out there and kill some more people. Or maybe that's what it is. Or maybe what it is that until those of us who won't get up and do something in a thought-provoking way, if we don't get up, maybe those other things will continue until they really get out of hand. How long do we have to see stuff happening before we get up as an individual and form that collective to do something positive to change it? Now, I always give the example of how people came together in mass form and they voted to elect the first black president. It took more than just people of color to do that and for that to happen. But then what happened after that president was put into office, oh, was he not left hanging? All those people who voted to put him there sat down and didn't bother the following year to vote for, hello, go to your elections and vote for your state senator to go to D.C. to support him. Oh, you didn't go the next year to vote for your representatives to go and support him? You thought it just took putting him in office to make change? Oh, I don't think so. Or, you know, look at who's running in your state for governor so that your state could be supportive of him. Or while sitting around and waiting for the police chiefs of your state to be elected without getting up and voting for the one that you wanted there? Come on. We can sit here and we can complain, and we can complain, and we complain. But until we get up and we affect the change, it's just going to get worse. Trust me, because you know, in one of our other shows, we talked about if we don't get up and move and make a change, it's going to get worse and worse and worse until we do something to make it better. And making it better doesn't mean going out there and killing more people. That was to wake us up. And until we wake up, that's what will happen. It will happen until we wake up. Okay, so we got these spiritual beings walking around in these human bodies, in this human form, and we got to do more than just sit around talking about we don't like something or this has hurt me or, you know, this is ugly or, you see, I can't watch that stuff. I see it, I turn off the news. If I can't do anything about it, if I can't be part of the solution, I really do not want to be part of the problem. We've got to wake up and be part of the solution. And I'm sure there's something you can do. You can write your congressman. If you don't want to get up and walk out your door and be in a march, start sending letters. They work. Start letting these people know. Like they, hey, you won't be there any longer. Tired of you being there because you're not doing what you need to do. So, you know, they read those letters. I know. They do. Their aides read those letters. And if you didn't vote for them the last time, they're going to do something for your problem because they're hoping they can go get your vote the next time. But they're going to look in the registry and say, oh, I got a letter here from Duchess. Somebody named Duchess just wrote a letter. She's, like, really having some issues there in the state of Virginia, and she wants us to help out and so on and so forth. Well, the first thing we're going to do is we want to see if she's a registered voter. Oh, dang, she's a registered voter, but she didn't vote for me last time. But I'm going to send her a letter because this is something that I can affect a change for her. And maybe next time she'll vote for me because she'll see that I will do things based upon the fact that, oh my God, I didn't vote for her the last time. I mean, she didn't vote for me the last time. Maybe she will this time. You know, that's just one thing. If you don't want to go to the polls, then go write a letter and tell them how pissed off you are. You know how many millions of us there are on the face of this earth and start writing letters to Washington, D.C. for a change. You know, there's a lot more of us than there are of them. And, yeah, we can push them out. I'm telling you one thing. If we don't get up and if we don't wake up, what's going to happen will be worse. It doesn't get better. You already see it's getting worse. Big time. So, with that, I've got a lot of numbers out there. I'm really exhausted. I probably need a nap after this show. It's an energy drain on an empath, you know. And I'm feeling good. And I would ask if anyone wants me to open up the line for them, but we only have about 5 minutes. And so you can't rant and rave. If you're going to rant and rave, I really don't want to hear it. This is my rant and rave day. And I really rant and rave. But this is my day, my time. And I told my mother, so I have a right to. yeah. Duchess pays for this show. Could be on it could go on for a whole month if I had the time and I had some people to help me. We could do this, you know, every day. But I don't have the strength. But it's good talking to you all. I enjoyed you. It's time to sign off. I don't see anyone else that wants to say anything. I want to thank you for being here. I really love you. Coming and listening with me and keeping me company. And of course, our next show, it'll be in August. This is July, it'll be in August. And I'll probably have some surprises for you. And let's do some meditation. And if you don't know how to meditate, you can learn. It just takes, 5 minutes to sit in one spot and do nothing. And if you start thinking, yeah, your mind has thoughts, start thinking and just focus on your breath. And if your mind starts thinking again, that's what the mind does. And focus on your breath. Eventually, you'll be meditating and sitting in one spot for 15 minutes. And when you come to, you'll be like, whoa, where did I go for 15 minutes? It's a phenomenal thing. It's a wonderful thing. So remember, prayer is talking to your higher power. That's prayer. Meditation is listening. And we don't listen enough. Okay? That's Duchess. Saying thank you for being with me. Loving all of you. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed month, the rest of the month. And I'm going to do some meditation so I can expend some of this empathic stuff that I'm holding on to. So I don't step outside of my door and go someplace and take it out on somebody who is so unsuspecting. All right? This is Duchess. And I be signing out. Stay blessed. Love you good. Toodaloos, ta-ta, and bye-bye. Thank you.